Isaiah chapter 49. Listen, islands, to me, and listen, you peoples from far. When you keep on reading about this, oh, listen, everybody. This is God pleading with people to accept the gospel just like we do. Yahweh has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand has he hidden me, and he has made me a polished shaft. In his quiver has he kept me close, and he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have laboured in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me is with Yahweh, and my reward with my God." Well, in the end, the servant of the Lord was intended to be Israel, it was intended to be Cyrus, it was intended to be all sorts of people. But in the end, they all failed, and this ultimately comes true in the Lord Jesus. And so I think maybe he felt that, "I have laboured in vain, I've spent my strength for nothing." I mean, all the thousands, crowds of people who came out, listened to him, they all turned against him and started screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he was left with a few women and the 12 disciples. One of them, of course, was Judas, and the disciples themselves all fled and ran away from him, fell asleep in the garden of Gethsemane. Yet he says, "Surely the justice due to me is with Yahweh, and my reward is with my God." And that is how you got to feel, even if people don't respond to your ministry, to what you try to do for them. Well, so they don't. But you are with, your reward is with your God. "Now, says Yahweh, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, and that Israel be gathered to him." That was God's intention, that Jesus would bring Israel back to God, but they crucified him. "Yes," he says, "it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the nations, that you may be my salvation to the end of the earth." So God says to him, okay, so they didn't want to respond, but I will make you a light to the world. Now, all that's true of Jesus becomes true of us. And Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," alluding to this, and he also says, "You are the light of the world." When Paul decided to preach to the Gentiles, he explains why. He says, "Well, I turn to the Gentiles because it is written, I will give you as a light to the Gentiles." So, as Jesus was the light of the world, so we have got to be the light of the world. If we're in Christ, we are the seed of Abraham because he was. So all that becomes true of him becomes true of us. And so that affects our behaviour, that wherever we are, in school, in the family, at work, wherever we might be, in retirement, we are the light of this world because we are Jesus to this world. We are the only sight they get of Jesus. We are the body of Christ. We are him. He has no other hands or face or feet or legs in this world apart from you and me. Thus says Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel, to him whom man despises, that's Jesus, to him whom the nation hates. He'd been called to bring the nation of Israel back to God, but they despised and hated him. Kings will see and arise. Princes will worship because of Yahweh, who is faithful, who has chosen you. This is God encouraging Jesus. That, okay, so you're despised and rejected, but some amongst the Gentiles will respond. And the fact that you and me have responded is therefore the great encouragement to Jesus. Thus says Yahweh, in an acceptable time have I answered you, and in a day of salvation have I helped you. And I will preserve you and give you for a covenant of the people to raise up the land and to make them inherit the desolate heritage. Well, that's quoted in the New Testament when Paul says, now is the day of salvation. This life is very short. When you're young, it seems life goes on forever, but it's not. It's just a moment. And if you're wise, when you're young, you'll understand that it's all just a second, a flick of the eyelid, and your life is over. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time when we can decide for God. There's an urgency in this, and this is why we try to plead with this world to see that this is your great moment of opportunity to live forever. But as fluffy clouds crawl across the sky and life goes on more or less the same every day. It's difficult to get people to see that. It's difficult to see it ourselves, that this is a day of huge opportunity. So God says, now is the day of salvation, to say that those who are bound, that is in prison, come out to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by springs of water he will guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways will be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and behold, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, heavens, and be joyful, earth, and break forth into singing, mountains, for Yahweh has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. So, he's saying that some are going to respond. There are some who are in prison, not literally maybe, it can be the literal prisoners, but people who are imprisoned in their own addictions, in their own weaknesses, in their own depression, to whom we can say, look, come out. There's this wonderful, sure hope of the kingdom, and everything bursts into song before you. This is the good news. But Zion said, Yahweh has forsaken me and the Lord has forgotten me. So this wonderful message, but people say, nah, God's not interested in me. But he is. This is the whole thing, the tragedy that we're up against, trying to persuade people. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, these may forget, yet I will not forget you. So God's saying, look, you're my little baby, that he likens himself to a woman who's nursing a child and says, look, I'm doing this for you. I am not indifferent to you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Well, this is talking about God, but God was manifest in Jesus. Although Jesus is not God, yet he was the Son of God. And of course, in his hands, he has the marks where the nails were. That's why after his resurrection, he showed them his hands. And it seems that when he comes again, he will show those marks to the Jews. And in that sense, God's people are continually before him. Your children make haste, your destroyers and those who wasted you will go forth away from you. Lift up your eyes around and see, all these gather themselves together and are coming to you. As I live, says Yahweh, you will surely clothe yourself with them as with an ornament and dress yourself with them like a bride. For as for your waste and desolate places and your land that has been destroyed, surely now you shall be too small for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you up shall be far away. Children of your bereavement shall yet say in your ears, the place is too small for me, give me more space to me that I may dwell. So the idea was they could come back from Babylon and there'd be so many of them, there wouldn't even be room enough in Israel for them all. But the tragedy is that the vast majority stayed in Persia. And as you learn from Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi, those who did come back, they weren't very enthusiastic. They couldn't be bothered to rebuild the temple as they were told to in Ezekiel. They just got on with their lives and intermarried with the nations around them, as you read in Ezra and Nehemiah. They didn't get the wonder of it. Then you will say in your heart, who has conceived these for me, since I have been bereaved of my children and am solitary and exile, wandering back and forth? Who has brought up these? Behold, I was alone, but where did these children come from? Thus says the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set up my banner to the peoples, and they shall bring your sons in their bosom and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders. Kings will be your nursing fathers and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of your feet. And you shall know that I am Yahweh, and those who wait for me will not be disappointed. So, what he's saying is, sure, you lost your children, some of you, in the captivity and in the destruction of Jerusalem. But when you come back, the Gentiles will join you. That's why there would be so many people coming back from Babylon. That was the intention. And kings will be serving you, and queens will be your servants, and you'll be filled with children, those who want to join in the hope of Israel. That was the intention, but of course it didn't happen. because the Jews preferred to serve idols and intermarried with these people. Thus says Yahweh, even the captives of the mighty will be taken away, and the prey of the terrible will be delivered, for I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh, they will be drunk with their own blood, and all flesh shall know that I, Yahweh, am your Saviour and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So the idea is that the whole world would know. Well, that didn't happen then, at the time of the restoration from exile, but all God's words will come true in the end, in that this will be the wonderful picture in the kingdom of God, when we, who are like the exiles, when we will have said yes, and we will come eventually to the kingdom of God, and the whole world will come, and those who are left after all the judgments, and they will accept that indeed God is the Saviour of his people, and they will want to be with us in the kingdom, and truly we will all live together happily ever after. This will happen, but it depends on whether we say yes. Because now, as we just read, is the day of salvation.